Once again, as always, thank you very much, everybody, for being on this line to get the most up-to-date information on this COVID-19 pandemic as it works its way through the Port Van Health unit in Timmins specifically. As expected, and as we mentioned last weekend, lots of testing going on. We expected positive results, and we've had one. I've got Dr. Kent on the line, and I'll hand over to you, Dr. Kent.
Thank you, Mayor Perry, and thank you, everyone, for joining us again. So as we're all aware, there's been one new positive case in the Porcupine Health Unit area. This individual is a female in her 60s who was tested on May the 2nd. She is considered part of the institutional outbreak that was declared yesterday at the Golden Manor in Timmins. At this point in time, she is asymptomatic and in isolation, and I can assure that the Golden Manor has always been and continues to follow all of the infection prevention precautions and measures in place, and the Porcupine Health Unit continues to work closely with them, as with all other homes across the region, to support these processes going forward. All residents and staff of the Golden Manor were tested on the weekend as part of the COVID-19 surveillance testing and long-term care homes that's supported by the Porcupine Health Unit and facilitated with our partners across the region. At this point in time, I can report that the other tests from the home are negative, and I believe we have all but a handful back. So at this point in time, we'll continue to work with the home to monitor the situation and ensure that all staff and residents are protected as they have been doing consistently. So this puts our current number of confirmed positive cases at 62. As of yesterday, over 2,476 COVID-19 tests have been completed across the Porcupine Health Unit area, which again continues to be above the provincial average for testing rate. The health unit continues to work with all 10 long-term care homes across the region to complete the testing surveillance that the Golden Manor took part in over the weekend, and we are well on track to have this completed before the May 15th deadline. So far this week, 678 tests have been done. So this is not included in the 2,476 tests that we are reporting across the health unit. Because this is a surveillance strategy, we will be reporting the numbers, and we will have up-to-date numbers with respect to the surveillance protocols and testing that is being done, but it's not included in our regular testing numbers at this point in time. So we have conducted 678 tests across the region in four different facilities. The other facilities are either ongoing or going to be testing in the next couple of days, with the last two being done early next week. So we continue to coordinate that process and support the homes, ensure that the samples are completed and submitted to the labs as well in a timely manner. We continue to promote not only the public health measures and infection measures as we see things potentially change across the province, and we see some activities open up. We encourage and absolutely urge residents to continue to follow the measures that will reduce your own risk of developing symptoms suggestive of COVID-19 and really protect your loved ones, your friends, and your neighbors, and those at risk for more serious infections. So please continue to follow the physical distancing, 2 meters from others when out in public. Please continue to wash your hands diligently. Please continue to stay home if you are unwell in any way, and contact the health unit for testing or your primary care provider for referral to an assessment center for testing. We continue to want to see that increase. And at this point in time, we also recognize that there are, you know, increasing challenges with the changes that we've all seen. People are missing out on family events, on life events, and simply even connecting with loved ones and friends. And that's difficult and it's challenging. And it's important that we stay the course in order to continue to see a difference and continue to see positive impacts of the changes that we make. Because we know that challenging for many, and it is Mental Health Week, it's important that we check in with those that we know may have more challenges One of the five ways of well-being is to try something new. And so the health unit is promoting that today, reading a book, looking at a new skill, trying a new card game, trying something new in terms of cooking. But most important, make sure you reach out to one another virtually, stay physically connected and socially, or physically apart and socially connected. I've not had enough coffee this morning. The COVID-19 information line remains open from 9 to 5, and we again encourage individuals to call for referral to assessment centers, or if you have any concerns, we will continue to share recommendations and guidance for any businesses that are looking to open up in the coming days and weeks as the province dictates and allows, and just encourage everyone again to maintain the steps necessary in the coming weeks. Keep learning, embrace new experiences, stay well, stay connected, stay kind, and stay safe. Thank you, merci, Miigwech.
All right, thank you, Dr. Catton. Next, we'll go to Blaise McNeil with the Timmins and District Hospital.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and folks on the line. As we've seen announced across the province, the current restrictions are working to slow the rate of transmission of COVID-19. As we continue making progress against the spread of COVID-19, we are asking you to keep doing your part to make the pandemic as short as possible. We have seen the community at large invest a considerable amount into doing the right thing and following public health measures that have been put in place. I've spoken about the intensity of effort of hospital staff, but the intensity also extends to all those in our community. The public health measures are not easy, but they are what stand between us and a potential widespread tragedy. The way to make the pandemic as short as possible is to continue to stay the course. We cannot return to business as usual quickly without undoing all the progress that we've made. The health of our community, healthcare sector, frontline workers depends on all of us staying the course together. We are asking the community to please stay safe, stay home unless it's for essential travel. Please wash your hands often. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll go to the media for questions for the Porcupine Health Unit or the Timmins and District Hospital.
Yes, I have a couple with Elena.
Good. Go ahead, Elena.
So, Dr. Catton, is this the first positive case that we've seen that has been asymptomatic?
This is the first case for the testing surveillance. I believe we've had one other that was very mildly symptomatic. I think the thing that we need to keep in mind is that there's two things that could be occurring when we see this. So one is we know that the symptoms are exceedingly mild, and we are seeing an increase in diverse and atypical symptoms. And so it's always possible that there are very, very mild symptoms that didn't last very long that potentially could have heralded a COVID infection. The other is that sometimes we could be picking up a case before they are symptomatic, and so it requires monitoring for a few days to see if any symptoms develop, and so we will continue to do that. Evidence shows so far, and again, all of this changes often. Evidence is based on the information that we have to date from other countries and other areas across the province. We have seen this happen in testing surveillance of long-term care homes across the province. And the fact that others within the home are still negative at this point is reassuring. And so when we know how COVID-19 is transmitted, so it's through droplet and secretion, so from people coughing or touching their nose and mouth and, you know, sort of from that type of transmission, then it also stands that likely there is decreased infectivity when someone is asymptomatic. However, we still follow all the appropriate precautions. It doesn't mean that it cannot be transmitted. So we'll continue to monitor and see, but this is the first asymptomatic individual and definitely the first one through the surveillance testing and long-term care.
Okay, and does that worry you at all? I mean, sometimes, I mean, if you know, you're asymptomatic, and you could be positive or not. I mean, is that something that the health unit is worried about?
Well, we know that with the measures that we continue to promote, if people are staying home as often as possible, if people are ensuring that we are washing our hands diligently, that once we have any potential symptoms that we're staying home and not exposing others, and that even more importantly, when we are out in public or out from the home, that we are physical distancing from others. It reduces the possibility of transmission of people who are even potentially pre-symptomatic or so early in the symptomatic phase that they don't have anything that they're really noticing as being very different, or anyone who's potentially asymptomatic still and could be shedding. So I think, I mean, these are always concerns. This is, you know, a new infectious disease, and things continue to change and evolve, and public health continues to evolve with it and follow the evidence and the guidance. And so I think really the most important measures still remain the same, whether there's a positive test, whether there's symptoms or not. Those are the things that will protect our community members, and that's why we really need to continue to stay the course with them.
Okay, thank you.
Derek, Sergio from CCV. Question for Dr. Katzen. Health Sciences North announced that they're going to be sort of expanding their criteria for testing in terms of like the symptoms. Like they'll be testing for people that are symptomatic of vomiting and abdominal pain, even pink eye. Is that something that the health unit is considering?
Hi, thank you, Sergio. So we've been doing that all the way through since the amended guidance was provided from the Ministry and Public Health Ontario. So the atypical symptoms that you've mentioned have all been added for a few weeks now. I'm trying to remember the exact date. And we've been sharing that, I believe it was April 15th, was a lot of the atypical symptoms. And so we've shared that with all of the assessment centers through the Porcupine Health Unit calls, all of our healthcare providers and hospitals, and have been providing those recommendations and guidance for some time. The one new symptom that was added just in the last few days was with respect to conjunctivitis, and that being a potential atypical symptom in one area. So yes, we are definitely encouraging following the provincial testing guidance update with all of the atypical symptoms and broader symptoms that you mentioned.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. And with those additional sort of testing criteria, is there any concern that or is that creating like a backlog on your end? Will it use it, or like the your ability to get the results back in a timely manner?
Thank you, Sergio. So no, the health unit continues to increase our ability and our capacity internally. We continue to train more and more staff to be able to conduct the follow-up that's required with all of the cases. We have always met and exceeded the provincial guidance with respect to connecting with cases and contacts of cases within 24 hours, usually within a couple of hours of being notified of a positive result. However, there are definite system capacity constraints that we may see ongoing, and so we continue to work with all of our partners and all of the sectors to make sure that we're able to support the testing that's needed across the region. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right, any further questions? Hearing none, we'll go to Brian Marks with the Cochrane DSAT.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks, Dave. For the emergency medical services, I'd just like to remind people that today is the final day for the PPE drive, and it'll end at 8 p.m. tonight. And I'd also like to thank everyone who did drop off donations to date. I'd also like to thank the volunteers who organized the event. Much appreciated. In terms of call volume, we had 21 calls with 12 in Timmins, and 8 of those failed the screening protocol. Food security, 36 meals were served at the MAC yesterday. In addition, last night at the First Baptist Church, 47 meals. I'd like to also thank the volunteers who continue to be involved with the food security program. That's much appreciated. In addition, at the Salvation Army yesterday, 23 hampers of food were distributed. That was on April 24th, and on May 1st, 14 food hampers were distributed. For more information on the food hamper program, just ask people to call 705-288-9701. That's 705-288-9701. Or go to team@antihungercoalition.com. And the homeless numbers remain the same at all three locations, Northern College, McIntyre, and Living Space. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Next, we'll go to Steph Palmateer, City Clerk.
Thank you, Dave. Today, the City of Timmins has received 103 complaints regarding COVID-19. Happy to report that we've laid zero charges during this time. One reminder I would like to give to the public is this Sunday, May 10th, is Mother's Day. Our cemeteries will be open for visitation, but we would like to remind the public about the provincial gathering restrictions during the COVID-19 pandemic of only 5 people being permitted to be together, and while doing so, they must be practicing the safe physical distancing of at least 2 meters or 6 feet. We know and understand how hard this is on families. Fortunately, these are necessary restrictions for everyone's safety. So we do ask that if you're out visiting, you please do adhere to the provincial requirements. Thank you. All right, thank you, Steph. Another notice from the City of Timmins, as everyone's aware, the provincial emergency orders were extended another 2 weeks. Given that and given some of the logistical issues related to physical distancing, we really have no choice but to cancel the spring cleanup this year. But what the City of Timmins will be doing is waiving tipping fees at the DeLauro landfill from the week of May 25th to May 30th and extending the hours from 8 a.m. to 5:45 p.m. In lieu of the usual spring cleanup where we pick up yard waste around the city. At this point, we'll go to the media for any further questions before going back to Mayor Peary. Okay, hearing none, then it's over to Mayor Peary.
And once again, thanks to all for being on this call. And my conversations with the police chief this morning, again, another great night in the City of Timmins. No calls, nothing COVID-19 related through TPS. So again, I underscore, we're obviously doing, and the citizens are taking this message to heart, and we're doing the right things the right way. So congratulations to everybody, everybody involved. As we've heard the premier talk over the last couple of days, we know the economy will be opened up in gradual phases. There will be no going back to normal. What we see out there right now is probably the way that we'll be having to do business for an extended period of time, i.e. Limited access into grocery stores, LCBOs and such. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can get business done that way. Everybody can get what they want. And it'll be that way next week as well as we prepare ourselves for the May long weekend. I would suggest right now that if you're planning to be out and about, and the Premier announced no issues with going out to cottages, start proactively, logically picking up your supplies that you might need to do that, so you're avoiding long lines. And those lines and the enforcement of those lines will be, of course, conducted next week as per usual. So very similar to the Easter long weekend message, plan ahead and get the job done. With all due respect for yourselves, for people that are around you, and the people within those stores. It's very much that message. I would like to share a couple of real good news stories for you. This is one I think that you probably picked up yesterday. Mark Apache released this, and it's in relation to a young fellow by the name of Carter Chalmers. He's the son of Staff Sergeant Tim Chalmers. He's 11-year-old Anshel Moran School, grade 6 student attending the Timmins, and he attended the Timmins Police Station. The Chalmers family, by the way, is a very long-established family within the Porcupine area. This young fellow's great-grandmother and great-grandfather and his great-uncles all lived at the Dome Mines property. As a matter of fact, his great-grandmother is still living in Spruce Hill Lodge, over 100 years old. So Carter has got long, his roots are deep in the Timmins area. While spending time at home in keeping with COVID-19 public health restrictions, this young man decided to make solid use of his spare time. Acting on his own and using a from-scratch recipe, he baked low-cal chocolate cupcakes and distributed them to the staff and personnel here at the station. He also prepared a thank-you message as a gesture of appreciation and goodwill for frontline and behind-the-scenes police personnel. This act of selflessness, generosity, even caught his father by surprise. So it's acts like that that we know that the youth in our community are committed to doing the right thing, and we're very, very proud of these types of acts. So congratulations, Carter. Job well done. But I don't think you're finished yet, because Heather wants a few of those cupcakes sent over to City Hall. So still got a few more to make up here. I also want to comment, too, on certain things that are happening with the community. I'll speak specifically now about South Parkland Food Bank. The Richwood Club of Timmins donated $10,000. DSEP provided a grant to $5,000. Case Alliance donated $2,000. South Parkland Pride Committee, $1,000. OLG Bingo, $857 as a result of their volunteer efforts. Connaught Community Association donated $500. The Little Association of Connaught, $500. Brush Strokes Timmins donated $500. Covenant United Church, $250. St. John Lutheran Church donated $55. And the Abundant Grace Ministries, $25. Pure Addiction Studio, $128. Timmins Referee Association donated $100. Thanks to the Boys in Stripes. You donated $100. Thanks, guys. $100. So the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario donated $50. ETFO1 donated $50. The Bucket Shop was gloves, and an anonymous donation made some face masks. Patrons of Giant Tiger, Dollarama, Winners, and Food Bins at Food Basics and Porcupine Mall provided 510 pounds of food. That included approximately $1,800 worth of Easter candies, toys, and crafts. Again, the community just give. The Benevolent Community Impact Fund donated $24. Miscellaneous income of $55. So I just want to point out these efforts of the large and small individuals and groups that are out there making this such a tremendously beneficial donations to those that are in need, and from my point of view, lift our spirits. We're doing the right thing. We can get through this. We'll be safe. We'll be healthy. We know we're strong enough to understand the message fully, that you are the author of your own destiny when it comes to these types of things, and we'll be okay in Timmins. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Perry. And once again, thanks to our members of the media for helping us get the news out.